إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، إخوتي وأخواتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Muntaqa al-Akhbar, written by Sheikh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. باب ما يقول إذا دخل المسجد وإذا خرج منه. This chapter has to do with what the one who enters the masjid sees and what he sees when he goes out of the masjid. عن أبي حميد وأبي أسيد قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل أحدكم المسجد فليقل. أبو حميد and أبو أسيد both of them said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said إذا دخل أحدكم المسجد, when one of you enters the masjid, enters the mosque, فليقل, he should say, اللهم افتح لي أبواب رحمتك, O Allah, open for me the doors of your mercy. وإذا خرج, when he goes out of the masjid, فليقل, he should say, اللهم أسألك من فضلك, O Allah, I ask you from your bounty. رواه أحمد والنسائي وكذلك مسلم وأبو داود. الإمام أحمد, الإمام النسائي, likewise إمام مسلم and أبو داود, they reported this. وقال عن أبي حميد أو أبي أسيد بالشك. So it was said in the reports of Abu Daud and Abi Umayj or Abu Usayd that is a doubt, unlike an Abi Umayj or Abi Usayd or that he said. So the report said what? An Abi Umayj or Abu Usayd. Now, both of them are authentic because they are Sahaba. Both of them are what? Sahabi. So, a Sahaba to Kulluhul Ujud. And the companions are all what? Ujud are trustworthy. And they also enjoy authentic memory. So, what to say when you enter the masjid is Ala Umma. اللهم افتح لي أبواب رحمتك. And when you go out of the masjid, you say what? You say اللهم إني أسألك من فضلك. وعن فاطمة الزهراء, from فاطمة الزهراء قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل المسجد قال. When the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم entered the masjid, he would say, بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله اللهم اغفر لي ذنوبي وافتح لي ابواب رحمتك. واذا خرج قال بسم الله والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله اللهم اغفر لي ذنوبي وافتح لي ابواب فضلك. So this is what another report. So one can say this or this. So though the first one is more authentic, so there are some other reports to be said that also fall under what one can see when one enters the masjid. So apart from this that was mentioned, now we have the report of Abu Dawud that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the hadith of Amr ibn Asi Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Asi, he said Sama idha daqa al-masjid qalara قال أعوذ بالله العظيم وبالوجه الكريم وسلطانه القديم من الشيطان الرجيم. سورة النسمة صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيدي ونرى الأنفاق بالمسجد. سورة أعوذ بالله العظيم I speak refuge with Allah سبحانه وتعالى the great وبالوجه الكريم I speak refuge with the noble face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa sultani al-qadim and etana authority min al-shaytan al-rajim from the attack shaytan. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say this whenever he entered the masjid. So this can also be added to what has been said earlier. So باب الشام فيما تصان المساجد عنه وما أبيح فيها. So باب الشام that is this is a kind of general chapter so to say concerning the maintenance of the mosque and how the mosque can be protected from certain things that are not allowed, kama ubiha fiha, and what can become what is allowed in the masjid. An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Abu Hurairah, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man sami'a rajulan yanshudu fi al-masjid dallatan falyaqul لا أبداها الله إليك فإن المساجد لا تكون لهذا. Whoever hears a man ينشد في المسجد ضالة announcing a lot item in the market or fashion for a lot item in the market فليقل إشتيل لا أبداها الله إليك may Allah not refurnish to you فإن المساجد لن تبنى لآدم for the mosque are not built for this purpose. So we understand that the mosque is not a place where we announce that we have lost an item, that we really search for a large item. The mosque should not be used for that. So ordinarily the one that does that, if we want to call the attention of the person, want to call his attention to this, that this is wrong. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs us to say لَا رَدَّهَ اللَّهُ عَلِيْهِ أَوْ لَا أَدَّاهَ لَا أَدَّاهَ اللَّهُ إِلِيْهِ May Allah not return it to you. This appears to be a kind of curse, but this is to call the attention of the person so that he will refrain from what is doing. So he shouldn't see it as a kind of attack on him by that person. He should see it as a kind of caution, that the person is trying to caution him that this is not what you do when you lose or you lose an item. So you don't come to the message to be watched, to be announcing the loss of such an item. So by the situation where somebody that you are telling him to not understand, the person will not understand that you are trying to teach him the sunnah you are trying to, so you will be soft by not using that. So here you apply what wisdom, because when you tell him what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, then he takes offense and what he turns it to another thing. Whereas that thing itself is to guide him, to bring him towards to the right path. But if you tell him, the person takes offense and the person does not see it as a kind of what teaching. So you may not say that, but you try to tell him what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said concerning the matter. How this is clear. So one may say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whenever one sees the one that is watched, that he is announcing the loss of an item in the masjid, one should say لا رده الله عليه أو لا أدى الله إليه. So with this you have passed the message. You have passed the message. But if the person disregards this, another time he uses an item, he announces it again, then one can lash on him by saying لا رده الله عليك أو لا أدى الله إليه. If he goes to get angry, let him get angry. For in the first instance, you may just coach the hadith for him, so that he himself will hear what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said concerning that matter. So it won't be what, it will not be as if you are attacking him for the first time. But let's assume that the person that does that is somebody who already understands the sunnah. If you tell him, he may not have problem with you. And you will not have problem with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do you reflect? You won't have problem with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will not have problem with you, because he believes you have told him what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him to tell him. So you won't have problem with you. But the first person who has no understanding of the deen, if he just hears that he says لا رد الله عليه, so you will need to explain again that this thing that I've said is not from what? It's not from my own words, from my own mouth. It's the order of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in that case, it will be better for you to read the old hadith for him, which contains the cause and also contains the message. I hope I'm communicating. So you have to look at the situation. But the message there is that the masajid are not meant for the announcement of lost items. They are not places where you search for lost items. However, when somebody loses an item and the item is brought to the committee of the masjid, for instance, maybe a member of the committee of the masjid gets hold of that lost item, can they announce that you are seen two and two? You know, here it's not that the person is what asking for the lost item. The lost item is being reported to have been what? Found. Can we say whoever lost so and so, or whoever lost so and so, should come to us? Scholars have different opinions on this. There are two opinions. Some are the opinion that one can do that. Why some are the opinion that you cannot do that? That announcing the finding of a lost item has the same meaning as announcing the loss of an item. How to display? We say both of them, they are the same. But when we look at the wording of the hadith, it says, "Man sami'a rajulan yanshudu." So yanshudu means what? Is asking for a lost item. Is searching for a lost item. Yanshudu fil masjid dallatan. So nashara ya talaba. So the hadith, wallahu alam, does not address the one that is what? That is announcing the finding of a large item. So this may be permissible. So somebody loses his wristwatch, for instance, and stands up in the masjid and he says, "Please, whoever finds my large wristwatch should work." So that person you ought to watch, you ought to tutor him, as you have explained. But the Imam said, "We found, or we have found a lost wristwatch." So if we have found a wristwatch in the admission center, so whoever has it should come forward. So this does have the same meaning as what? As the one who has gotten up to ask for a lost item. He said the correct view of Allah A'lam is that it does not have the same ruling. So by this, if a lost item is brought to the masjid, we can announce the finding of that lost item so that the owner can show up to the clinic. Allahu A'lam. Now, following on that is the announcement of a kind of, what do you call it, ilan of maybe to advertise something in the masjid, to advertise something in the masjid. So this may also fall under something that we particularly when we reach the other hadith. Or some other hadith. When Buraida and Rajulan Mashara Fil Masjid, from Buraida, who said a man asked for a lost item in the masjid, فَقَالَ مَنْ دَعَى إِلَى الْجَمَلِ الْأَحْمَرِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Who amongst you and called to the red camel?" That is, the man was searching for a lost red camel. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man da'a ila al-jamali ahmar," who is the one looking for a red camel? Faqala Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "La wajadta." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "May you not find it." إنما بنيت المساجد بما بنيت له. The masjid, the masjid, the mosque, has been built for what you are built for. رواه أحمد ومسلم وابن ماجه. So this is explaining or saying the same thing that the first hadith has said. that the masjid is not a place where you announce the searching for lost item. So one can do that outside the masjid. So take for instance, maybe one sits outside the masjid, maybe by the door of the masjid, and one announces that I'm looking for so and so. Is that okay? Yes, it's okay, because it is outside the masjid. The placard or something of such that are placed by the wall of the masjid or by the door outside the masjid, this is always still okay. It's still okay. So but for us to do that inside the masjid is wrong. Like maybe some of these what do you call it, this calendar that they place inside the masjid that should be a kind of advertising some company. So this is wrong. In God, this is wrong. So placing notices in the masjid, maybe announcing things like that, maybe there's going to be a car somewhere, that's going to, all this should be avoided. All this should be avoided. The masjid is not used for that. Except what you have, what we have evidences for that. You can use the masjid, use the masjid for, or things that are not connected to the watch, to the masjid directly. So, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من دخل مسجدنا هذا ليتعلم خيرا أو ليعلمه كان في المجال في سبيل الله. Whoever enters this our masjid in order to learn something good or to teach it, Hanak al-Mujahid is like a Mujahid, the one who is fighting in the war front. Teaching the deen or learning the deen is like a Mujahid. So that's why those who are teaching the deen or learning the deen, they are also holding a large part of the deen. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْ طَائِفَةٍ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. That is, all the believers are not expected to go and participate in the battlefield. Some should remain at home, learning the deen, so that those who have gone out to do jihad, to fight the physical fighting, when they come back, they will have people that they can watch, also go back to learn what those people have learned from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why everybody will not go out for jihad. So there will be people who go out for jihad, some people will watch, who stay behind to learn about the deen. So the same thing applies to people. Everybody will not be at home learning the deen. So everybody will not ask everybody, for instance, that you should all stay behind and learn the deen. So some people will go out to also fend for what their family will eat, and watch will be used to also assist the da'wah. What will be used to assist what? The da'wah. Yes, everybody will learn the deen, but not at the same watch, at the same level, so to say. How difficult. And we have those that will devote themselves completely for the deen, that they will dedicate their time for the deen. And those people will be ready to sacrifice, that is, whatever they are able to watch, to get to eat, to manage. So there will be people like that. And that's why we have Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and some like that, that devoted their time for the deen.
unlike most companions, to go to watch, to work. Some will go to farm, some will go to the market to sell. So a lot of them, they have watch. What they will do to earn living. And what they earn, they will use it to also support the da'wah. And there will be people who watch, who will devote their time for learning of the deen, the way Abu Uyah was allowed, and he devoted a time to learn the deen. This involves something of sacrifice. This involves something of what? Sacrifice. There should be people like that. But today, we have those who are campaigning for everybody going to madrasa. Everybody go to madrasa. And you want them to be going to madrasa from what? From morning till what? Till evening. What will their family eat? What will they eat? What will their family eat? That is not the teaching of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The companions who go to work, and those who are farmers, who are farmers, those who are traders, who are traders. So they will go to work. At the same time, they will come to the halqa of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to learn the deen. As Umar radiallahu anhu said that he had a neighbor that he would alternate coming to the halqa of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with that neighbor. At times he would be the one to go to the halqa, at times he would be the woman. So whatever he learns, the day Umar did not go, Umar will benefit from whatever Umar learned to do, the man did not go, no benefit from Umar. And whatever money they make, they will use the money to watch, to assist their family and to also support the deen. Because the deen also needs what? Financial support. No finance, no money, you cannot promote the deen. So if everybody becomes what? The little go up from morning till evening, no way. Islam will watch. Islam will collapse. And the Messenger of Allah never taught us that way. Never taught us that way. So it's not a must that everybody must receive away, must be fast in Arabic. It's not compulsory. What is compulsory is that we must all worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what you need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, you learn. You learn. As you are thinking now, some people are coming from their places of work to come and learn one thing or the other concerning our salah, concerning our aqidah. You learn, you implement. You learn, you implement. But there will be people, and there must be people, who would watch, who would dedicate their time to watch, devote their time to learn the deen deeply. So these people will be those who did not have much knowledge about the Islamic matters who go back to. فَسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask people who know it is not true. So we have what? We have the two categories. We have the categories of the scholars, and we have the categories of those who are yearning to learn what they will use to practice their deen. So this is the way the society was during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it should continue like that. It should continue like that. But when you devote your time for learning the deen, so you want to preach the deen, so you should not expect that you will be living the way those who are what devoted are, those who would go to market, those the same way they are living that you live that. You should not be expecting that. You should not be expecting that. So if you see somebody who is living like that, so this will be what? This will be exceptions. And we have people who are very wealthy and who are what? Who are mashayikh, who are very learned. And they are worthy. Some of them are what? Extremely worthy. Just as you have Anbiya who are what? Who are worthy. And they are knowledgeable. So there will be what? There will be exceptions like that. So the basis is that those who are mashayikh, they will not be rich. That is the basis. But we can ask the mashayikh that watch that to be rich. But when you are now saying the mashayikh, they should be rich,
you are trying to watch, you are trying to chase them away from watch, from devoting their time for the dawah. So then the unfortunate thing again is that those who are well to do among the ikhwah, as we have always said, they are not acting up towards expectation. They are not acting up towards expectation. There are a lot of things that the dawah needs, that brothers are well to do. They can watch, they can provide those things, but they will not. We are not talking about giving imam 20,000, 30,000, 15,000, maybe after a month, or this is not what you are talking about. The dawah itself needs what? Needs money. The dawah itself needs money. Most of the masajid that the people of Sunnah that we are using today, most of the masajid, you see people of Sunnah controlling masajid, these are masajid that come from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and like. Where are the well-to-do Muslims? Where are the well-to-do Ahlul Sunnah? Where are they? Some are what? They are wallowing in money. A brother may be able to watch to buy a plot of land and build a masjid. Alone, the brother can do that. If you see a brother that earns about 10 million naira in a month, if such a brother says for some years he will build a mosque, that the people of Sunnah will need. But today we rely on masajid coming from Saudi Arabia, coming from this, coming from that. Alhamdulillah, this is still what? It's still helping the Sunnah. Unlike from years back, like 15 years back, the people of Sunnah will be going to the masajid of the people of Hijaz to organize lectures. They change you away from those masajid. And we have dollars who are earning millions. But what people do is they say, I want to do a question, I want to go to this, my brother, my children, my wife, go to France, we are going to this. What are some of these masajid that you are talking that they are what? Huge by people in Saudi Arabia. If it is somebody that is earning very somebody that is not rich that building. He just decided that I want to have this at Tola Kajaria, either for myself or for my parents when I leave this world. And we'll do that. So what I'm trying to say is that what brothers were lied to be frank and realistic. We are not doing our task as far as what the religion is concerned. We need brothers to support the deen. Supporting the malam, that's another thing. When it comes to supporting the malams, a lot of brothers who are well to do are still what they have found wanting here. But who would the deen that we say we are all practicing? So need support. And that's where I will always say, some brothers will call me, Malam, I have so and so problem. What do you want me to do? I don't have solution to your problem. I don't have money to. So you want me to connect you to the brother? If I connect you to the brother this week, another person calls me, the same brother will connect you to that same brother. The following week, now become what? I'll become embarrassed somehow. The person that I'm connecting you to be running away from me. And with that, I'm humiliating myself. That is not my task. My task is to what? To teach. Sandaza will tell brothers, you approach the brothers. The brothers that you feel are well to do that I know, you approach them by yourself. Are you not brothers? You are brothers. So you approach them. One thing is to approach them on your behalf because it's giving me a task that is not my task. Just as what you do not want to approach them, I'm also shy to approach them. Yes, some of these brothers, they have what? They have their responsibilities too. But the reality, generally speaking, is that the brothers of Sunnah, in the Southwest, as far as what I know, we are not working the way we should work. We are not assisting the team the way we should assist.
At times, some of these innovators, malams, the innovator malams, when some of them are doing something that will run the planet and they are doing bad things, you see somebody giving them cash to celebrate their bad day. Bad day. Somebody building houses for them. But the ones here of Sunnah not saying give me car to celebrate so and so or build a house for me. What they are always saying is that what let us assist this thing. Assist one another. There are brothers who are suffering at this day. You know them. If you don't know them, you can come to Malans that, oh Malans, if you know brothers who are what in need, I'm ready to watch to do this. Then you're watching guys directly to those people. What I'm trying to say in essence is that this dawah, this sunnah you are talking about, you cannot do it without having those who are what, who are well to do. So don't tell everybody to go to madrasa, to what to devote their time for madrasa. It won't work that way. But everybody must learn what they will use to practice their religion. They learn their salah, they learn this, they learn that. But to devote their time for what? For kill, it's not the task of everybody. Islam has not said it that way. So even the issue of jihad, not everybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً. Not everybody will go and fight jihad. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْ طَائِفَةٍ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ. So some people must devote their time for what? For the tafaqquh, to learn about the deen. And their usefulness will be what? For them to admonish those who have gone out for jihad. وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمًا إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. So this is what Islam teaches. So it is important as Muslims, as Ahlul Sunnah, to understand this. So inshallah we continue to say, perhaps we have some words, some listening viewers. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man dakhala masjidan, whoever enters our masjid, he has to learn, in order to learn, khayran, something good, aw yu'allima, or to teach it, kana kal mujahid fi sabilillah, it's like the one who jihad in the path of Allah. Wa man dakhala lighayri dhalik, whoever enters for a reason other than this, كَانَ كَالْنَارِ إِلَى مَالِ صَلَةٍ. It's like the one that is looking at what does not belong to him. Huh? Like the one that goes to the market, for instance. He goes to the market, he's not a seller, nor is he a buyer. He just goes here to look at what is in the place here. No money. No watch. It's not the seller and it's not the buyer. So just goes here to look. So when you are entering the masjid, you are entering the masjid, it's either to watch, to learn, or to teach, or to do ibadah. But for you to just go to the masjid, you say you want to come and sleep in the masjid. So you are not utilizing the masjid for what it is built for. For what it is built for. So رواه أحمد بن ماجه وقال فهو بنزلة الرجل ينظر إلى متاع غيره. He reported to Ibn Majah, it is said that it is like a man that is looking at the property of another person. So what does not belong to him? So when you look at what does not belong to you, what benefits are you really getting from that? So it's alhamdulillah, it shows that what the masjid is the place that we take care of and we do the needful, the right thing inside. When Hakim bin Hizam qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تقام الحجور في المساجد ولا يتقاد فيها.
it is said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "And tribute, that is a punishment, should not be carried out in the masjid." Why? Because if somebody's hand is being shot off because the person steals, and his hand is being shot off inside the masjid, what happens to the masjid? It will be littered with blood. Or somebody is stoned to death inside the masjid, so this will litter the masjid. Or somebody is being flogged for having committed the zina, and the person is not somebody that has been previously married. So the person is always shouting around inside the masjid, will be chasing the person. So the masjid should be protected from things like that. So I produce, the punishment should not be established inside the masajid. وَلَا يُسْتَقَالُ فِيهَا. And if somebody kills a person, he should not be killed in retaliation inside the masjid. Or somebody shot off the hand of the person, his hand should not be shot off in retaliation inside the masjid. So there is no coward in the masjid, no retaliation in the masjid, no retribution inside the masjid. So we should protect the masjid from anything of such. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إذا رأيتم من يبيع أو يتاع في المسجد فقولوا لا أربح الله تجارتك، وإذا رأيتم من يشهد في ضالة فقولوا لا رد الله عليك. Now, the second part of the hadith has been explained before. After the first part of the hadith, which is selling and buying inside the masjid, this is what is prohibited. This is prohibited. The word of the Quran says it is detested. But if you look at what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, لا أربح الله تجارتك. This is the cause that may Allah not put profit in what? In your tijara, in your trade, in your transaction. This shows it is haram, and this is the correct view. Contrary to what the Jumhur of the Madhab say, that it's something that is detested to buy and sell inside the masjid. So as he said earlier, that if somebody is selling or buying inside the masjid, so should you tell the person direct, as you have it in the hadith, it is better that you read the hadith to the person. Perhaps he is not aware of this really. But somebody that you have read the hadith and the person insists on selling inside the masjid, then you can say what? لا أربح الله تجارتك. Because it appears that that person is what? He is a stubborn person. So if you say لا أربح الله تجارتك, so this reward will be justified. But somebody that needs to be taught, it is good that you just read the hadith and try to enlighten the person. Now, when we talk about buying and selling the masjid, this is what? Concluding transaction inside the masjid. And then, for instance, how much do you sell this microphone? For instance, how much do you sell this? You say you are selling so and so much. What you are doing is what? It's tijara. The buyer and the seller, what you are doing is what? It's tijara. This is wrong. Or I want to give you a contract, then we are what? Talking on the contract. So then we are trying to bargain on it. So this is called what? Tijara. Whether you are trying to conclude a service to be rendered for you, or you are trying to conclude the contract on something that you want to sell or buy, this falls under what? Tijara. So the one who does that, to say what? La arbaha Allahu tijaratan. If the person is somebody who understands the sunnah, it takes what? Caution. But because of the environment in which we are living, that a lot of people are not aware of this ruling, we try to sensitize them. We try to call their attention to this. That, well, this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on the one who is buying and selling, buying or selling what? And the masjid. So the information, the ruling has been brought to the person. If the person has received that this is what he's going to do, then in that case, we don't owe you any excuse. You can watch Sula Arba'ullahu Tijarata, how this is planned. So, there are a lot of things that you may consider to be not falling under buying and selling, but they are buying and selling. I'm seated here. Let's assume that I want to use data for this, and I want to use call credit. Can I buy it inside of my kids? How is this plan? Can I just dial the code and what's in my bank account? If I'm sitting in the market, can I do that? If I do that, what I'm doing is what? Buying in the market. I call on that. A lot of us may not take this, may not even be aware of this, but what we are doing is what? Buying and selling the market. Buying and selling in the market. So this is what? This is wrong. Likewise, we ask somebody, okay, please, brother, help me break this 1,000 naira into two. So give me 2,500 naira. What both of you have done is what? Buying and selling on the market. Al-Musarafa, the rule. When you exchange currency for currency, is what is the rule is telling. So if you do that inside the market, it falls under that. Now what about if they take this thing around maybe the kolo, the ones you are donating to the masjid, and you have 1,000 naira with you, and you want to give 500 naira, can you do that? Can you do that? This from scholar said you can't do it, because you first engage in what? Buying and what? That musarafa is what? Python says it's not something that you are going to benefit for yourself, it's for the benefit of the masjid, that this may be overlooked. But Allah A'lam, it is better avoid it. It is better avoid it. But if you look at it critically, we may not say it in every way that it falls under what buying and selling, because it's not for your benefit that you are doing that thing. Physical benefit is for the benefit of the masjid. But if one avoids it, Wallahu A'lam, this is what is better. Now, another thing is that you may think that, okay, it falls under maybe the hadith that we shouldn't sell. Now, if I ask, how much do you sell this? How much do you sell this? Does it fall under it? How much do you sell? I will tell you the amount that you sell it. Does it fall under it? It doesn't fall, because we do not conclude the transaction here. At times you may want to know the price of something. If you see somebody who is selling something, how much do you sell this item now? If he tells you the amount that he tells it, you are not actually falling under the hadith, because you are not concluding a transaction. How do you claim? So this doesn't fall under it. Somebody pays you, somebody is owing you, then the person pays you inside the masjid. Does that fall under? It doesn't fall under it. Because this is not concluding what a transaction. And the evidence for that, one of the companions, I think Khalid Man, and another one called Ibn Abi Adraj, as contained in Bukhari. So their voices were rising inside the masjid. They had a kind of quarrel inside the masjid. One was owing the other. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could hear their watch, the argument, why he was in his room. So he had to come out and he said, oh, so and so. He said, watch, that he revealed it, that shatter, that he overlooked half of the morning for it. And the companion said, okay, I've either spoken the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he told him inside the masjid. So on that right, he said that if you tell somebody that you, that you are always inside the masjid, this does not fall under what? Vine and okay. So it is when you conclude the transaction inside the masjid that falls under the hadith that if you are aitum man yawiru aw yabta'u fil masjid faqulu la arbah Allah tijaratak. La arbah Allah tijaratak. So this should be understood that doesn't fall under Qurum inside the masjid. As I said, that the jumhur to say is not true, but when you look at the hadith critically, it is haram to buy and sell inside the masjid because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put cost on that. So maybe we should stop here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Now the first question is getting advice inside the masjid. So this one under transaction that is forbidden. As I said, this is not allowed. So we shouldn't allow any company to watch to advertise their Okay, this is for the construction of the masjid itself. That there is nothing wrong in that. So maybe the account number and the recommendation, we need so and so amount for the completion of so and so mosque. So this Allah Alam doesn't fall under Now when you do that with your bank, are you buying something? But you are not buying something from the bank. You are not buying something from the bank. So it is better avoided, it is better going outside. But if one does it in the market and you are watch doing it for the sake of the market, so this is not that you are buying something from the bank. You are taking from your own watch, from your own account. You are taking from your own account, so given to the market. But the bank will not release the money, for instance, except they collect something from your account. So this is not that you are buying something from the bank. So that is one aspect. Another aspect is that the money that you have in the bank is like a loan to the bank. Are you with me? All the money that you have at UBA or Access or that, you have loaned the bank. So you tell the bank that I need part of my money that you are owing me, and the bank releases part of the money to you. So and it is given to the mosque. Is that transaction? The transaction. That you. What I'm saying is that you are owing me now. You are owing me. So if you give me part of the money that you are owing me, are we engaging in buying and selling? That's what I'm saying. If you say you put money in the bank, is the bank owing you or not? Who is owing you? Your money in the bank, if you want to classify it Islamically, your money in the bank is a loan to the bank. So it's like the money in the bank belongs to the bank. You have loaned the bank, and that's why it is not allowed Islamically to loan the bank. So say you are putting your money in the conventional bank, because the bank will have something to it which is called what? The interest. So your money in the bank is a loan to the bank. So if the person that is now owing you is now paying you while you are in the masjid, so that falls under what is prohibited. It's just like the case of Ibn Adraj and the Kabin Marja from those explained. So for the fact that the bank is going to collect a kind of charge for that, so that is the first angle that you look at it. But if you want to look at it critically, so somebody that is owing you, if you give the person money, is there anything there?
No, one thing, take for instance now,
because we want to classify the bank charges are classified as somebody that is owing you is still collecting money from you. Is it proper?
I want to give someone money.
Bank empty. What you are saying, the money that the bank is giving, who owns the money? So you know the bank. So the bank is giving you part of your money now. So is it supposed to be collecting money from you? But if you give him, is it river? It's not river. If you give the bank, it's not. What if the bank gives to you? Is river. Try to understand it. If somebody that you are owing the person. If you give that person money, you have added to the money that was you give him. If it is stipulated, it is river. But if the person that is owing you, you are not giving the person money. So there is no river there. I don't know if it's clear. So it is not river to look at it critically. But we want to look at it from the angle of what the service charge that we have taken. So if we want to say we are concluding transaction, so that's when we will say maybe it should be avoided. But critically, if you look at it, it's like somebody is owing you. Is still collecting money from you. Somebody is owing you 100,000 naira and the person is giving you 99,000 naira. So is that riba? There is no riba. You are only dashing money, so to say. So this is where we look at the money the bank, the party charges that the bank will take, that if they benefit from us, there is no harm. But we should not benefit from them, because we are the lender to them. So to benefit from them, ours will be classified as river. So, Allah.
Can we lock
the money? Can we lock the masjid because the masjid is being misused, or the items or facilities of the masjid are being misused. Yes, we can do that. We can do that. So, and we open it when it is time for salah. So after the salah, we watch, you will close it back. So if they say, okay, the masjid used to be open during the time of the meeting of Allah, Allah, and we say yes. But then people will not steal things inside the masjid. So when people begin to steal something from the masjid, so we also send them out, that you are not allowed to watch, to remain in the masjid because of the practice of stealing. So Allah Almighty. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك.